Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We'll be joined by Preds assistant coach Derek McKenzie at 7:30. Charles Robinson will be with us at 8 o'clock. We got a lot to get into with Charles with NFL free agency beginning next week. Taking your thoughts on that in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Joe, some trades made this week for the Predators. We talked about Nyquist going from Nashville to Minnesota for a second-round pick in 2026. And last night, Barry Trotz making some more moves. Tommy Novak and Luke Shen have been traded to the Pittsburgh Penguins in exchange for forward Michael Bunting and a fourth-round pick that the Predators have gotten back as well. So Novak and Shen out. Michael Bunting, who at the moment is on IR, and we'll see what his availability looks like for the rest of this year or what the Predators' plans are with him moving into next year. But Novak and Shen gone. Interested to see if Pittsburgh holds on to Shen and he is a part of their group this year and next year, or if Shen was acquired by them to then turn around and flip before the deadline tomorrow. But either way, Shen and Novak are now gone from the Predators. Your thoughts on what Barry Trotz has done to this point with the deadline still a day away here in the NHL?
Yeah, well, so, you know, we were talking off the air then. What would you grade? Cause, you know, the Athletic grading trading deadlines. It's like, what would you grade the Preds? They got a pretty good return from Nyquist. I mean, Tommy Novak is going to go to Pittsburgh and score like 10 goals before the year ends. He'll go on an absolute tear. Like, that's the most predictable thing ever. I mean, I think that he's done. I think this makes sense. You've talked. Was it yesterday or you brought back your tweet from a few days earlier? Like, he must get rid of Novak. He must.
I said that on Saturday.
Yeah, he said that on Saturday. Yeah. So he's done that. You know, Shen, I mean, you know, people don't have Shen to beat up on anymore.
They do not.
That poor guy. I know for the media. That's
a huge loss.
That's a crusher. But it's like, so, you know, it's like the grading of the trading deadline, it's like, it's almost like, yeah, give it like a B minus or whatever. But because this season's an F, it's kind of like, well, you failed all your tests and you completely flunked out, but you left your workstation really clean. Good job.
Yeah.
Like the pencils were put away perfectly after you failed the test.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, you have to make the best of the situation that you're in, that you've created, et cetera, et cetera. So it makes sense.
Yeah, like on the surface, the one last night in particular is kind of a weird one. Like, I don't know what their plans are for Michael Bunting here. Like, Bunting, when you take the totality of it, I think he's making $4.5 million a year, and I think he's got one more year left on his deal after this one. So you look at next year, and between Novak and Bunting, Bunting is actually more expensive than Novak is. But when you factor in Novak and Shen together, then you are having a cap savings at that point. So you clear two contracts out with Shen and Novak. You bring one $4.5 million contract back in with Bunting. Bunting, when he's healthy, has been okay. Like, he's, you know, a couple years ago, he put up 55 points between Carolina and Pittsburgh. You know, back in 2022 with Toronto, he had 23 goals and 40 assists for 63 points. He was 26 years old then. He's 30, so it's started to go the other way on him the last couple of years. Some of that's been injury-related. So how does he fit into the lineup next year? He's a different type of player than Novak is, for sure. Like, he's a winger, and he is really good at going to retrieve the puck and going to the front of the net. Like, he crashes the net. That's what he does. So you need some of those guys. I'm interested to see how they view that. You know, I saw some Predators fans confused by this last night, and I get the confusion to a certain degree. I will say this, and I'm probably not the right guy to talk about this because I've been screaming about this for 2 years. Novak doesn't fit this lineup, and he hasn't fit this lineup for a long time. Like, I said it heading into the year. The idea that Tommy Novak was going to be the second-line center for this team has always been laughable to me. And I don't think it took them very long to figure out that that was not going to work. He is not a second-line center. And quite frankly, if he's not playing in a top-six role as a second-line center, I don't know that he's good enough in other roles right now to really be effective in this lineup. Now, to his credit, he started to play better lately. He's scoring some goals lately. Now, you know, Preds are 20 points out of a playoff spot, so it's a little bit too late. But I just think moving forward here, I thought they should have traded him last year at the deadline. We talked about that on the show, particularly when Elliot Friedman was throwing out there that teams might give up a first-round pick for him. I was like, if you get a first-round pick call for Tommy Novak, you better trade him. They didn't do that. I don't know what they ended up getting offered for him. Maybe nobody approached giving him a first-round pick. I have no idea. He signs the deal. The contract itself is really not that bad for Novak, but think about what's happened since then. You had an elevation in the lineup. You had a playoff series where he was a total ghost in that playoff series. It was not effective at all. They started him out this year on a line with Stamkos and Marchessault and put him into a role that he clearly could not handle. And I think it was just time to move on from Novak after that. I don't know. Maybe he goes to Pittsburgh and he blossoms and he's really good. I also think that, like, and this is a conversation, Joe, that we had last year, I think there are people that think Novak is like 23 years old, and he's not. He'll be 28 in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So how much improvement is really going to happen? I don't think there's going to be a lot. Like, I think he is what he is, which is not a bad player, but I just look at this lineup and where they're at right now, and I just don't know that he's a great fit for it. So
now
that's where I come
down. You've been consistent all along on him, and it's just, you know, the way it turned out, it was like I understand where they were with everything else. They did some things big, but they didn't have that number two center, so it's worth giving him the shot. Didn't work out. Novangelista had a nice little run last year. They had a nice little chemistry for a bit. But Texter says, absolutely terrible trade. No direction of this team. Can't develop young players, and Trotz doesn't know the value of his own roster. Jason Goodlitzville asked, stockpiling draft picks to trade with Buffalo for their center?
People keep talking about Dylan Cousins. Like, I don't really know why you would want Dylan Cousins. Dylan Cousins is signed long-term. He's over $7 million a year. And he's not a very productive player. Like, I get it. He's 24. You're looking for younger centermen. But Dylan Cousins, one of the things you got to ask if the Sabres are moving on from him, like, why is that? I mean, he's got 31 points. He scored 11 goals in 60 games. Is that worth $7 million a year? I don't really understand the Dylan Cousins stuff.
It's just center desperation.
Yeah, like, I mean, but you're hoping
which is real.
Changes, but, like, you know, I don't think that that's a great option. Now, they got to do something at center. We've talked about that. But the problem is, like, if you're going to trade for a center, unless somebody is just totally, like, at odds with their organization and has demanded a trade, then more than likely, if you're trading for a center, it's because the production is not matching up somewhere and you're right. Taking a shot in the dark on them. Like, a lot of people are going to bring up Elias Pettersson. Elias Pettersson has been a very productive player in the NHL. The past calendar year for Elias Pettersson has been terrible compared to what they're paying him. So you could take a shot. There are a lot of people in Vancouver right now, they're like, this guy has lost it. Like, he does not have it anymore. I don't know if I believe that. Maybe there's a lot of stuff that's going on with him in Vancouver.
Oh, yeah.
So,
and even go back to, like, the playoff series against the Preds last year.
He's bad.
He was a ghost himself.
Exactly. So, like, those are the type of guys that you would be going to get. And I don't mind taking a shot on those guys. It's just you have to understand if you're doing that, like Pettersson, I think, gets paid $11.6 million a year. It's a lot of money to throw a shot at somebody for a year, you know? So I understand, like, you're looking at this and you're asking what the direction is. I don't know that I'd overpay for, like, a Dylan Cousins. Dylan Cousins, to me, I understand it's Buffalo, and for whatever reason, they can't get anything to work in Buffalo ever. So maybe a change of scenery comes about and he is a really, really good player. They're paying him a whole lot of money right now to be not that productive of a player.
Texter says, it's the Sabres, Robbie. Just like you said, everyone does better once they leave. Well, I would argue everyone seems to do better once they leave Nashville, too.
Well, I mean, yeah, I understand it's the Sabres. But again, you're talking about a guy that's getting paid over $7 million a year, who has 18 goals last season, 47 points. This year he's got 11 and 31 points. And by the way, like, I get it. It's the Sabres. Sabres got some pretty good players on that roster, and for whatever reason, they could just never win. I, for the life of me, don't understand it.
Yeah, they've been able to actually draft good players,
yeah.
And, like, they're good.
Yeah, but and then the team is not. They just perpetually are awful every year. Predators have made some trades. Novak and Shen to Pittsburgh. Nyquist has already been traded to Minnesota earlier in the week, and we're one day away from the deadline. So what do you make of the trades that have been made, and what could still happen for Barry Trotz over the next 24, 36 hours here before the trade deadline? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Bred's assistant coach Derek McKenzie will join us coming up at 7:30. So Novak is out. Luke Shen has been traded to Pittsburgh. Gus Nyquist to Minnesota. So what else could be coming for the Predators? Joe, it looks like a seller's market right now. Some good returns that have been out there. You know, Tampa Bay in particular, they're like the LA Rams of the NHL. They do not care about draft picks. We knew the Tanner Jeannot trade that they gave up all those picks a few years ago. Well, yesterday they gave up two first-round picks for Yanni Gourde to come back and Oliver Bjorkstrand, both of which are fine players. Probably an overpayment there by Tampa Bay to go get him. But their general manager, Julian Brisebois, was basically like, yeah, I don't really care about draft picks. I want as many good players as possible to help us go try to win a championship. So that's how they operate there. Bleep those picks. Basically, that's what they're saying. Bleep those picks. So the returns right now are pretty good for some of these trades that we're seeing. Preds have already made moves with three guys. What more could we see? You got Michael McCarron that could be available out there. People have asked about Colton Sissons. My thing is, like, somebody's going to have to play center the rest of the year. So how much more trading do you need to do if you're Barry Trotz? We'll see. I would say,
tank
like,
it up, baby.
I'd be
tank,
listening.
Tank,
like,
tank.
If some, there's the idea out there that continues to float out there that they could get a second-round pick for Michael McCarron. They're talking about that. Like, Friedman's talked about that. And I keep saying, like, if you get a second-round pick for Michael McCarron, I'm making that trade all day. And I like Michael McCarron, but he's a fourth-line center. You can find another fourth-line center. I realize he's huge. He wins a lot of face-offs. He's a good penalty killer. All those things, which is why that there's a thought out there that he could go for that. But I don't know that I would hesitate on that if I'm the Predators, if somebody offers you a second-round pick.
If that's the return, yeah, I agree. Now, Jesse brings up a point. He says, moving off Novak Shen now, do you think Sissons and or McCarron still get dealt? These moves might do more harm than good. I like McCarron. So, again, if it's like a return where you're like, oh, geez, okay, well, I can't turn it down, then – and, you know, Sissons, how old is Sissons now? I mean, he's been a stalwart for this franchise.
He's not as old as some would think. I think he's probably 30, 31, we see. 31, yeah.
Gosh, good. It's always good when, like, you're surprised by how young someone is,
yeah.
You know?
He's been around forever.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, what's the return there? I mean, yeah. I tend to agree, like, you still want some, you know, solid core players in your lineup, right?
Somebody's got to play center.
Yeah, someone's got to, deal everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to, and of course, obviously, the high price guys are back. I mean, they're
not going
anywhere. So that. But
big one's O'Reilly. That I don't think he's going anywhere either. Like, yeah. I talk about the market being high. So look, maybe there's a chance that between now and tomorrow, somebody calls Barry Trotz and is like, "We have to have Ryan O'Reilly, and we're going to do whatever it takes to land him." And I think you owe it to yourself to listen to that. If you're Barry Trotz, I think it's gonna take a lot for somebody to get O'Reilly.
Like, what's a lot?
I think it would probably be a first-round pick and, like, a high-level prospect for Barry Trotz to consider it.
Yeah, that's high. Neil here says, let's trade him for a first-rounder. Yeah, I think you need to get a proven hockey player as well.
If it's purely a first-rounder, Barry Trotz won't do it. Because, I mean, think about the teams that would be willing to give up a first-rounder for O'Reilly. It's not going to be at the top of the draft.
They're not high picks.
And he already has three first-round picks for this next year. So. Right. It's going to take more than a first-round pick to get O'Reilly, which is why I don't think it's going to happen. Like, I think O'Reilly is going to be here.
Yeah, you got to have some blend of, you know, having hockey players and picks.
You do. You do. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Bob to the program. Bob, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. I've got a question. If you guys were Barry Trotz, what would you do? Would you make any more moves, or would you stand pat at the deadline? Thank you.
Yep, thanks for the call, Bob. I think it just depends on the offer. Like, Sissons is a very valuable player for them. They really like Colton Sissons, and he's got some term left on his deal. He's not very expensive. So, like, Colton Sissons can continue to be a useful player for them for the next few years here. But what's the offer? Like, what is somebody offering for Colton Sissons? Like, I said, McCarron, like, if somebody offers you a second-round pick for Michael McCarron, I'm making that trade. I'm doing it. And, look, I understand that, like, Michael McCarron's size doesn't grow on trees, but you can find a fourth-line center if you're the Predators. That's not really what I'm worried about if I'm Nashville. It's like, how do you set yourself up for finding some answers offensively this offseason? The one thing I'll say is they have opened up some cap room here to where they can do some things this offseason if the opportunity presents itself. And they're going to have to, obviously. It's not worked this year. So they're going to have to change this thing up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, again, there's a limit to that. There's a limit to what you can change. A lot of next year is really going to be just hope that all these guys – I saw Alex Doherty put out the tweet on, like, the core guys and their production last year to this year. It's basically cut in half.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of it is, like, just hope that guys rebound. But also, how do you help them rebound? Are there elements to this lineup that
right.
– and obviously, if you can – get another centerman in there who can play, that could, you would think, would be a big help.
Well, now what are you doing on defense moving forward too?
Yeah, there's, you know, that kind of a problem.
Like, I realize Luke Shen took some crap, and he was not the world's best defenseman. I actually thought he was fine this year. Like, he I don't think Luke Shen was near the top of their list of problems this year. But now moving forward, you got Yossi, you got Shea, and beyond that, it's just a bunch of young guys. Now, I think Molendijk is probably going to be up next
coming.
Year.
Like,
he's
coming.
Probably going to be – he's probably going to be on the team next year based on the way that things are going right now. But then you got to piece together everything else around that. Like, their defense core right now is in rough shape, so they got to fix that.
Talk about a change, you know, over time, but still.
It's quite something.
Like, so. Craig says, we'd use all three first-round picks to try to trade some of the picks for a real first or second-line center. The problem is, Craig, like, no one trades real first or second. You know, like, they don't trade those.
Well,
guys.
And to answer the question, like, I would entertain trading the first-round picks that you're getting this year from Tampa and Vegas. I'm not trading yours. I mean,
right.
It can end up being a top three pick. I'm not trading that.
Hopefully, that's your center for the future.
Exactly. So, I'm definitely not trading that pick. We'll be joined by Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Preds back in action tonight at Bridgestone Arena, taking on the Seattle Kraken. To help us talk about that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie to the program. Derek, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How you doing?
Doing great, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Derek, this is always an interesting week every year, really, regardless of what the standings look like. You were a player in the league for a long time. So I'm just curious, from your playing days, what was this week like heading up to trade deadline week, and how do you take that experience of going through it as a player and apply that to your experience as a coach now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you certainly can appreciate what they're going through. And I think every guy in the locker room probably has a slightly different, feeling going into it. I mean, you know, unfortunately, it's part of the business. You know, you could be a guy where your contract's up at the end of the year and you might be looking for an opportunity somewhere else. There's guys who are a lot older that are in the dressing room that, you know, might be thinking about this as their last chance to make a Stanley Cup run. There's young guys in there that are, you know, am I going to be a part of a trade, or am I going to, you know, get a bigger opportunity or less of an opportunity, depending on, you know, does the team load up or do they get rid of, a couple pieces. So a bunch of mixed emotions. Universally, I think when it ends, there's a breath of fresh air. I think, you know, everyone just wants it to be over is kind of that feeling. And so, you know, just going into today, appreciate that. I mean, you know, friends get moved. buddies get moved that you're battling with and going to war with. And so a lot going on, just keeping focused. That's why we have game day routines and game day skates, you know, just kind of flush out not only the legs but the mind a little bit and then get ready for the Kraken tonight.
So Tommy Novak moving on. Derek, obviously a guy who, you know, has done some good things here. Maybe didn't work out exactly, you know, the way he wanted or you guys wanted. How would you assess, you know, this season for him and what's ahead for him now?
Well, I mean, that's a pretty good example of a guy that, you know, could probably use maybe a fresh look. And, I mean, Tommy's a very skilled, good hockey player that, you know, has shown, you know, signs of being a consistent top six center in the league, you know, at moments. I think he's got to go, he's got to move on and find some consistency in his game. You know, and I think that'll kind of be how things play out for him over the next year or two, is that, you know, can he grab that spot and kind of solidify himself as a guy that, you know, teams, you know, not only can count on every night but can win with, you know, or is he going to kind of teeter in that area? And unfortunately, if that's the case in this league, then you probably find yourself on four or five teams throughout your career. But listen, he was a great guy here, and I know the guys loved him a lot, and you know, wish him all the best.
Well, on the Shen front too, Derek, and, you know, obviously, you know, one of the most popular guys in the league amongst the players, and it doesn't take long, even for, you know, a guy like me doing a journalist job, walking in the room to realize, you know, how much he's beloved in there, how popular he is. So just from a leadership void, how do you try to overcome that with Shen being gone and just the leadership you've got in the room?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of different ways to spin it, but I mean, you know, I think what we should all do is probably take it a little bit personally, in the sense that, you know, unfortunately, when you're in the situation that we're in, you know, you lose, you know, pieces to your team. You lose leaders, you lose friends, you know, you lose those guys that you enjoyed coming to the rink with every day. And obviously that was the case with Luke in the dressing room. And you know, someone felt like they, you know, could, you know, better use his services at this point. And I think that's, you know, kind of mentioned that he's a guy that's obviously on the back nine and had a great career. And, you know, maybe he'll have a better opportunity to win short term somewhere else. And I'm sure that'll be the case for him.
When you guys are in a situation like this, and of course, you know, all of you guys have been through probably every possible scenario as a player or coach in this league, but do you, as a coaching staff, are you guys talking a little bit more about maybe younger guys getting guys looks, even possibly, you know, some guys who right now are in Milwaukee who may get an opportunity here soon?
Yeah, I mean, I think as coaches, first and foremost, you know, we kind of just we coach the you know, the players that we're kind of given. At the same time, it's been a great kind of relationship here as far as, you know, bouncing things off each other, and obviously Barry, you know, being so, you know, quickly removed from coaching, I think he can kind of appreciate having that cohesiveness between the two, so that, you know, that we try to get these kids in the right spots at the right time. So yeah, I mean, you look at a guy like Svechkov, obviously, you know, he's a guy that we've been, you know, quietly trying to give some minutes, give some bigger opportunities to, and then, you know, with Novak vacating, I mean, that would be something that, you know, we'll be, you know, closely monitoring, in the fact that, you know, you don't want to give him too much, not that he can't handle it, but there is a process for these young guys, and then just making sure that, you know, we're on top of guys like that, so that they, you know, they stay in their wheelhouse as far as ice time and opportunity, so that, you know, they just continue to move forward.
Derek, specifically for a guy like Evangelista here, what about the opportunity with him? We saw him with Stamkos and O'Reilly the other night. Obviously, those three had a really good game the other night. But what do you make of the opportunity for a guy like Evangelista that's dealt with some injuries this year that he's had to battle through and now seems to be on the other side of that and is playing with some pretty good players?
Yeah, I really liked his last few games. You know, again, it's been difficult trying to put that puzzle together this year. And, you know, it's been hard on guys, and he's an example of that. You obviously bring in a couple right-hand shots and some bona fide, you know, top six guys that are obviously going to play in those situations. So he's kind of had to buy his time a little bit, and then you mix the injury in there. And it's kind of like, you know, he's probably an example, a little bit of what's kind of resonated through our team. Obviously, you know, things are down for production-wise for a lot of guys, and it just happened to be one of those things that kind of snowballed. And saying that, that's what makes this league so great and so difficult is that the guys who can find their way out of these situations are the guys that obviously last and become stars in this league. And I think, you know, I agree with you. I hope, you know, Luke's kind of getting past that and these last two games and then kind of stepping up in the timing of it. I mean, it's an intimidating spot to be as a young kid when you have O'Reilly and Stamkos on the ice, and I thought he did a really good job of managing that the last two games.
Well, Derek, we really appreciate your time. Good luck tonight against Seattle, and we will talk to you soon here.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds in action tonight, taking on the Kraken. It is like – this is a weird week just in terms of, like, everybody knows. Like, you know heading into this week that there's going to be some movement. Like, we talked to Nyquist whenever that was, their last home game, I guess last Thursday, and it's like, so – deadlines next week, and then he got traded, you know, 36 hours later.
And he knew it was coming.
He knew it was coming. Like, it's just, it's a very strange week. And, like, today, you know, you're walking in there, and you know that, like, a guy like Stamkos, like, Luke Shen and him are obviously really tight. They played together, won cups together in Tampa Bay. Their families are really good friends with each other. Now he's gone. So, I mean, like, there's the human side of it. And then, like, in the back of your mind, if you're a guy like McCarron today or Sissons, it's like, well, number one, like, am I playing tonight? Like, am I going to get traded tomorrow? Like, is this my last game in Nashville? Like, it's a weird day in there.
Yeah. No matter what, traded, not, whatever, someone leaves, someone you thought was going to leave, doesn't leave. Like, obviously, you know what your team is. You know, my team is on the ice from tomorrow on, and then it's like, okay, fine. Now you don't have to worry about this stuff anymore. Real quick, Josh from Lebanon asks, who do you think from Milwaukee will be in a Predator sweater the rest of the season? We talked about Kimmel off air.
Yeah, I think Kimmel will be up here pretty soon. I just think it makes a lot of sense to give him a look and see what you've got. I think they're bringing up Weisblatt today, so it looks like Weisblatt is going to be in there tonight in the short term. I mean, thing is, on defense, they've had a lot of guys that have come up. So
that's basically
it's
what it
basically
is.
What it's been and what it is right now. So I think you'll see that. But like Kimmel's the big one. Like I think it's getting a look at him the rest of the year and seeing what he is. LaRue participated in the morning skate the other day, so hopefully he's close to coming back. Like I think when you're going through a situation like this, one of the silver linings can be, all right, well, elevate Svechkov, see how he handles it. Elevate LaRue, see how he handles it. You know, Evangelista playing with – like, I'd leave Evangelista with O'Reilly and Stamkos the rest of the year and see how he handles it, where you can get a good look of kind of what you're dealing with some of your younger guys heading into the offseason. But Kimmel's the big one. I don't think it'll be too long before Kimmel's up. And then when the regular season's over, you send it back down and he plays for the playoffs in Milwaukee and see what he does.
And then we can really get into some Milwaukee sports talk.
Rex Road's favorite time of year, baby.
Oh, man.
Admirals playoff runs. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up next. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock. We got a lot to get into with Charles. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Say something and then something else happens, then like, to Stilly, like they were lying all along. Like they were lying, they lied. And it's like, well, sometimes what happens, is, I think especially with this owner, is the owner changes her mind. I think we've seen that. But in his mind, it's they're lying. They just lie. He's hoping that they're lying now. I mean, I am too. But in all seriousness, there are people who are still like, hey, Steve, stop doing those Mayo commercials. You might play some quarterback. I mean, oh, see, there's me just yelling for no reason. Now I get it.
Uber guy,
don't leave us, Uber guy.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexro. With a song that always puts me in a better mood when we hear it.
Oh, God.
Joseph, the floor is yours.
It almost ruins their entire fantastic 60s catalog. Not quite, but it's close. It's actually very fitting, Keezer, that you ran that little clip of me, because that's part of what I want to talk about today. Someone tweeted at me last night, and it was one of those, like, you know, someone just makes up an account, a burner, like zero followers, zero. It's like just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So it was probably like Chase making up an account. But it was like, you really need to learn mic control. It's been deleted now, so it makes me even think even more that it was Chase. Maybe Chase and Big Joe together. You know, you really need to learn mic control. Like, you're constantly yelling, and like your volume's going up and down. And I'm like, I mean, look, I'm gonna take this as constructive criticism. So I don't know if you've noticed, but I've been trying to like not yell today. We got the Uber driver saying that we yell too much. And again, it's not we, it's me, right? I'm the one who. So this is the rant. So I think I need to try to do these rants. I don't care what PK says. A little more calmly,
peacefully.
Yeah, a little more peacefully.
Yeah.
Although then, as we're going into this, you open up Twitter and you got, you know, this Captain Vault. Can I just read this real quick? This is not the rant, but this is a Vault Twitter person who has a lot of followers, so some people. He says, the quiet part out loud, Tennessee has three coaches on campus that are entirely incapable of ever winning a championship, but they all three keep you so close that you can't do anything about it. Dude, the women's basketball coach has been here a minute, had a kid, and is way overachieved and beat UConn this year.
Now she can't win a championship.
I mean, look, Rick Barnes,
it's
obviously.
Quick hook. Yeah, you're gracious.
My God. And again, this is obviously a reaction to the Vols losing at a very good, like a ranked top 25 caliber team on the road in the SEC by 2 points. It's too bad. If you want a one seed, you got to win those games. But, like, that's the reaction. I mean, like, the need, especially with Rick Barnes, look, the guy's never won a championship. He's been to one Final Four. So I get it. I mean, like, the history tells you that maybe March isn't going to go as well as you want. But also, he got the program to their second Elite Eight in the history of the program last year. And, frankly, if they weren't playing Purdue in a home game, I mean, that team was a Final Four caliber team. I can't wait till he leaves. And then I want to talk to every single one of you when you see what happens. Like, you do not appreciate what he's done with the program. But that's not what the rant is. And by the way, you might be riding a hypo. I don't know. We'll see. But that's a dumb text.
We'll see.
Or a dumb tweet. So I what I want to calmly, without changing my volume or without saying the word like, Josh says I've been saying like a lot. I got a lot of issues, obviously.
Apparently so.
Apparently people are starting to realize that I suck at broadcasting. But I do want to talk about, you know, Ed and the people like that in the Titans fan base who, look, you, I love the variety of opinions. You're all welcome to your opinion. But I just want you to really think about another year of absolute misery. I think sometimes you fast forward in your mind. You're like, yeah, just do this, and then we'll suck next year, and then we'll be ready for the quarterback next year. I want you to just think about the process of living your life on a weekly basis, and going through each week, and then in camp, talking yourself into your team being good, and each week going through the process of following a team that already has given you multiple years in a row of misery, and now you want a Mac Jones, Will Levis, a Jameis Winston, Will Levis combo at quarterback. And I want you to think about living through that year. I'm not going to yell at you about it. I'm going to keep the same volume, okay?
I could handle it if it was Jameis. There's enough entertainment value to get through it if it's Jameis.
Someone did ask on the text line earlier today, like, can you imagine, you know, like PK and Jameis? I actually think that PK and Jameis would probably enjoy the heck out of each other.
I think so, too. I think it would go well. Like I said, Jameis I could handle because I think there would be enough entertainment value both in the press conference setting but also on the field. Like, he's going to throw some pretty horrific interceptions. Like, it's going to be – and then he's going to make some great plays. Like, I think the entertainment value would be high. The Mac Jones-Will Levis QB combo room really makes me violently ill. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about the Jacoby Brissett-Will Levis quarterback combo room. I don't know if I can make it through that.
Jacoby Brissett, man, that's a tough one. Again, like, he's solid and – he's a heck of a pro and all these things, but my goodness. Neil Down says, another issue that you have, Joe, is that you were dumb. Neil Down is, of course, Big Joe, continuing to try to get me. What he tried today was he tried to, I said my best in sports because I'm very excited about Vanderbilt, Tennessee in the SEC tournament, 10 a.m., women's basketball, an hour after our show ends. This is what Neil Down wrote. He said, "Sorry, but the worst thing in sports every week is women's basketball. Less than 1,500 people went to the game yesterday in the SEC tournament. No one cares." And so, of course, in his mind, he's like, that'll get him going. That'll trigger Joe.
Which
and
he'll usually start, it would.
And he, but unfortunately, Neil Down, Gabe O, and I won't say the rest of the last name of that one, I'm on to you, bro. You're screwed. So you better get a new phone or else it's never going to work again. Ha, 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 ha.
It'll work again.
Adam in Portland says, haters going to hate. One man's trashy broadcaster is another man's favorite.
That's
your
right.
Your number one fan, Adam. Thank you, Adam. Next time that people rip you when you come on our show, I will yell at them.
That's right. That's right. Adam takes some crap on the text line. He takes some crap.
There's people say I wouldn't mind seeing Winston's. Okay,
I mean, I'm talking purely entertainment value. That's the only thing I'm discussing. I'm not talking wins because you're not going to get very many of those. But I am talking entertainment value.
No, I mean, listen. But look, if you want to talk about us and you want to talk about our, like, I think for the Titans' sake, I'm pro Darnold. I think that the Titans could do good things with Sam Darnold. If you want to talk about for us, then yeah, go draft Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. Draft Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, right, yeah. Like, there's a personal thing here that like, sometimes does not match up with the team needs. I'm just trying to think of the team, and I'm trying to think of Titans fans. I don't think you guys want that. I don't think you want the weekly experience. Don't you want something at quarterback that gives you hope?
We'll find out. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.